Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, March 17th, 2025. I'm joined by Alex Brown from Cornwall, England. Alex, how are things going?
Very good, thank you, Graham.
So I guess it's St. Patrick's Day, although I'm guessing maybe that's not a big holiday in England. I don't know, are people celebrating or it's not? It's more Ireland, right?
So I'd never heard of that holiday until I moved to America. I think it's an American holiday that Ireland started to adopt.
Wow, no. Is that true? I guess it's possible.
It's possible.
There is a big Irish population in the U.S., that's true. It is like a massive thing in the U.S. So, well, in any event, if anyone's celebrating, enjoy. But what's going on, Alex? I know we had an insane week on Livewire and just generally on the Clear Admit website last week because schools have started to give out round two decisions. So tell us what's been happening.
Yeah, decision weeks are well underway now, so which is great. Seeing lots of folks getting decisions at lots of the top business schools. So last week that included Tuck, Emory, Darden, Ross, Rice, Kelly, Owen, and probably one or two others that I'm forgetting now, because again, it was really super, super busy. And congratulations to all those folks that got positive news. And for those that didn't get quite so positive news, I mean, hopefully there's still some light at the end of the tunnel, waitlist strategy or whatever it might be. But yeah, lots of news out of last week, and this upcoming week is going to be equally sort of frenetic in terms of decisions, and it'll include Kenan Flagler, Yale, INSEAD McDonough, and again, probably one or two other programs I'm forgetting. So Livewire is entertaining.
Oh yeah. And it's a good place to hang out, and you know, people are trading tidbits and information. So, no, it's good. But yeah, I want to echo your congratulations to everyone tuning in who's had good news. And obviously, if you're on a wait list or you haven't yet had good news, hang in there. You'd be surprised how many people get in off of these lists. There seems to be, I feel like these days, in recent years, there's more and more maneuvering happening on these wait lists than there used to be even. So, you know, there's still hope. Alex, I wanted to mention something else that we're doing that's really important for Clear Admit, which is we've launched our spring survey of applicants. So if you are thinking of applying to business school or have applied or just got in, like all the above, please take our survey. You just go to bit.ly/CA survey 25. And the reason that this is important is because when we gather this data, it's actually data that we share with schools. As you know, we work closely with all the top business schools. And so this is really vital. In fact, this is kind of how we're able to keep the lights on at Clear Admit. So please, if you have a moment, take the survey. If you know other people applying to business school, please let them know about this. It really helps us to better understand, you know, just how you go about, in this case, the survey is all about how you go about deciding where to apply. So really important stuff, Alex, and hopefully people will take that survey.
Yeah, let's hope so. We always have a good sense of how people select schools, but really we only know when we hear directly from those doing the selection. So
yeah,
absolutely. If you can, please take the short survey.
Yeah, and then other than that, before we get into some of the news and notes, we have events coming up. There's actually an event this week. We're doing an Ask Me Anything with Stern. I think that's on the 19th, so that'd be this Wednesday. And we have a sign-up for that because you do have to sign up to join us for this kind of live chat with the Stern admissions team. You just go to bit.ly/NYU Stern AMA for Ask Me Anything. So sign up for that. That'll be a lot of fun. It's just kind of a free-for-all. I think they even have some alums joining or current students and obviously staff from the admissions team. So that should be fun. And we also, May is going to be a crazy month. We've been saying over and over again, but the list of schools joining us in May keeps growing. I'm worried about our capacity constraints at this point. But please come to Boston if you want to hang out with literally every top 25 MBA program out there. They're all going to be exhibiting at this fair that we're running, and we're going to do panels and admission strategy tips, all that kind of stuff. So join us for that. You can sign up for that by going to bit.ly/MBA Fair 2025. So yeah, and Alex, I was telling you earlier, we're doing some virtual events in May as well. We'll have all the top schools for those as well. So stay tuned for more on that. But it's just a busy, busy time, and I'm really looking forward to these events.
Yeah, May is our month to kick off next season, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. The other thing we did, as I think you'd have to have had your head in the sand not to have noticed some of the changes happening in the world of diversity, equity, and inclusion, affirmative action, all these different things that the current administration in the United States has sort of taken aim at. So we actually ran a couple of articles I think be useful for people. The first is about all kinds of fellowships, scholarships, and community that exist for women thinking about going to business school. So it's just kind of a summary. There's some school level stuff that's listed, but also some of the big organizations like Forte that we talk a lot about on the podcast. So good kind of resource overview piece for people, for women applying to business school. And we did the same thing for US minorities. So there's a similar piece on what are the scholarships, support organizations, et cetera, out there. The consortium, for example, or Management Leadership for Tomorrow. So there's a lot of information in these articles, hopefully that gives people some guidance as they're navigating in a potentially sort of more challenging time.
Am I allowed to talk political here, Graham?
I mean, you could say whatever you want, yeah.
I mean, I just think it's really tragic, the current political environment in the United States with respect to DEI and gender equality. And I think that the issue has become this notion that there's a binary choice. It's DEI versus meritocracy, or it's gender parity versus meritocracy. Mm-hmm. And I completely dismiss that argument. I think it's meritocracy that's built from DEI, a meritocracy that's built from gender parity. Or whatever, gender equality, whatever the right term is. Mm-hmm. And I've spent a lot of time thinking and writing about this stuff in my own sort of personal thing. And I just think it's tragic the way the US government is going after these issues.
Yeah, on many levels, the US government is currently doing a lot of stuff that is sort of head scratching. I mean, need only look at the markets.
Yeah. I'm off the soapbox now. I've said my piece, and I don't need to ever come up with it again. But I'm on record.
I agree with you that there's a lot of problematic stuff happening, and I think that, yeah, that's why we did these articles to give people some resources because we expect some of these resources, you know, at the school level are probably going away. So that was the aim there. Other thing we did is we did run an admissions tip. This is how to choose between MBA programs. So if you're fortunate enough to get into multiple schools, which we hope many of our listeners will be in the coming weeks here or down the road, this is a great tip that just helps you kind of, you know, go through that process of figuring out where you should land. I hope that when we talk about Decision Wire posts on the show, that also helps people to be thinking. We try to give a lot of advice, and you can kind of see how Alex and I go about it when we're looking at a candidate with multiple offers and how they should decide. So check out that admissions tip on the site. The other thing, Alex, is that we continue to run Real Humans pieces with MBA grads. So our Real Humans alumni series is off to the races. We've actually recently connected in the last week with like four different grads. So we talked with Ike, who is an Emory Goisueta grad who is currently a senior consultant at Deloitte. He graduated actually back in 24, so very recent grad. He is from Irvine, California, went to UC Santa Barbara for undergrad, where he studied econ and accounting. He did had a number of roles before Emory at a place like KMG, where else, Robert Half, and Norfolk Southern. So he did a number of different things before business school. And we asked him, what's one piece of advice you wish you had been given during your MBA? And I had to share this with you, Alex, because I think this is really great advice. He said, the MBA experience is the final time many of us will have a non-traditional schedule or large chunks of free time before we retire. Go on a big trip. Do some projects or activities that are difficult to achieve while you're working a full-time job. I did these things, and I still feel like I should have done even more. So I thought that was kind of cool advice from him.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. We also caught up with Karen, who graduated from Rice in 24 and works at Pfizer as a finance manager. So Karen is actually from, I'm going to say this wrong probably, but a place called Teresina, Brazil. And she went to university there, actually studied law. And before business school, she'd worked as a financial controller in manufacturing, but also in the public defender's office. So she had two very different kind of work experience, one legal and one kind of entrepreneurial. And we asked her, what about your MBA experience prepared you for your current career? And she says, everything. I stretched every business muscle, finance, entrepreneurship, venture capital, strategy. The classes were thought-provoking, and the professors were so supportive. There were plenty of leadership opportunities in clubs, and the skills and accomplishments of my cohort and friends still push me to do more to this day. So that's Karen at Rice, who's now working, or from Rice, who's now working at Pfizer. Kind of interesting. I mean, it sounds like she had a great experience.
Yeah, and it just highlights the value of the sort of the generalist approach to MBA education, right? It's not just about finance and it's not just about marketing. It's about everything to do with, you know, developing and running a successful business in whatever industry you're in, and so forth. And it's also about surrounding yourself with really high profile folks getting the MBA. And I think, as you said, they pointed to that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a couple more here. We caught up with Denise, who graduated from Berkeley back in 23. Denise is actually at JP Morgan now as an investment banker, focusing on healthcare. She hails from Toronto, Ontario, where she went to Ivy Business School at Western University for undergrad and studied business administration. She had worked as a financial analyst and a consultant, two different roles before business school. And we asked her, again, what piece of advice do you wish you'd been given during your MBA? And she said, this was really interesting. She said, if you can, live with or near your friends and future classmates. It happened to me by luck that I ended up in the same courtyard as two of my Haas classmates, and it turned out to be one of the best parts of my MBA experience. Some of my favorite memories are from our informal get-togethers, late-night conversations, and just being able to pop into each other's places. The MBA flies by, and having that built-in community makes it all the more fun and memorable. So I thought that was interesting advice. I hadn't heard anyone say that before, but I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it's also sort of a plug for going to the welcome weekends of the programs that you're really seriously considering attending, because that's where you're going to meet some of these folks and you're going to start thinking about housing situations, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, it's common sense advice, but you can't start planning for that too early, I don't think.
Yeah, and the welcome events, they often have like a 2-hour tour of, you know, options for housing in the community that you're going to be settling into. So yeah, you're absolutely right. And they even do roommate pairing or things like that if you need to find someone to live with. So really good advice from Denise at Haas. And our last candidate that we caught up with, a guy named Ashwani, who is a graduate from UC Irvine, Mirage. He graduated back in 24, and he is currently a business program manager at Microsoft. So Ashwani comes from Delhi, India. He actually attended the Delhi Technological University, and he had also an array of experiences before business school, which included co-founding a startup, working as a consultant, and then finally serving as a product strategist in the ed tech sector. And we asked him, why did you go to UC Irvine? What were the factors, you know, that kind of led to your decision? And he said that he chose the Paul Mirage School of Business for its emphasis on digital transformation, its STEM-designated MBA, and its strategic location on the tech coast. That's what he calls it. He said, additionally, the school's proximity to tech giants like Amazon, Google, and numerous innovative startups provided unparalleled opportunities for industry engagement and professional growth. So that's Ashwani. He's landed at Microsoft, had nice things to say about UC Irvine.
No, brilliant. Tech coast. I love that.
I've never heard that before, but it must be. I probably live under a rock. So
I was going to say, if you're in New York or that, you probably don't like it.
Right. Yeah. So, I guess, you know, Californians often call it the best coast. So, you know, I don't know, tech coast, best coast. As always, before we get into our candidates, if you want to reach out to Alex or me, just write to info@clearadmit.com. Use the subject line wiretaps. We had a lovely note. I think you saw it, Alex, from a military candidate. I don't know, maybe it was last week, wrote back to that gentleman. And so it's always nice to hear from you all. So please write when you can. Otherwise, Alex, is there anything you wanted to talk about before we talk about our candidates?
Let's kick on.
All right, so this is Wiretaps candidate number one. Our first candidate this week has 12 schools on the target list, and those schools include Berkeley, Columbia, Dartmouth, Duke, Harvard, Michigan, MIT, Kellogg, NYU, Stanford, Chicago Booth, and Wharton. This person's a military officer. They're hoping to start in 26, so they're going to be applying next fall. They indicate that they might want to do banking or pharma or maybe even consulting after business school, their GRE is a 331. Their GPA from undergrad is a 3.39. They have 4 years of work experience or will upon matriculation. They're located in California, but they want to land in New York after business school. And they do mention that they studied economics as an undergraduate at a top 20 school. And I guess they went to a business school, they say. So, or I guess it's a undergraduate institution that is a top 20 MBA program too, I guess. That's what they indicate. As I said, 4 years of military experience. They've had three different roles in the military, and they were ranked in the top 5% in all three of those roles. Their family has a business that's a pharma. It's like a mid-cap pharma company, and they would actually are kind of interested in getting into banking, consulting, or pharma, maybe a leadership development program, presumably to prepare them maybe to head back into the family business, which is what they say is their long-term goal. So, Alex, what do you make of this? I mean, there's a lot to like here, but what's your take on this candidacy?
Yeah, I think, as you suggest, there's a lot to like here. I mean, the GPA isn't outstanding. So that's quite clear. And again, relative to the rest of their profile, I'd say that might be the weakest spot. But it's complemented by a 331 GRE score, which is outstanding. So that might sort of help mitigate that. But I'd be quite curious, you know, if there's any context around the slightly lower GPA. And I'm talking about in the context of applying to the very best MBA programs on their list.
Right.
So I would just be curious a little bit about that. I mean, obviously their military career is going to be an outstanding piece of their overall profile, as you point out, as they pointed out, they're a top performer, et cetera, et cetera. And we know that top MBA programs do like military candidates for a variety of different reasons. So that's very good. I do think they will be better served with a more focus on that short-term goal. And what we tend to see from military candidates is short-term is consulting, because that gives them a broader perspective. They're now able to apply what they've learned to business school in the sort of private sector settings. And sort of consulting can give them a broader brush, and they can do consulting in the healthcare sector or whatever it might be. I think that might be the appropriate one, but they probably should come up with a more focused short-term goal. Their long-term goal makes a lot of sense. Schools will like that. So the short-term goal has to match that pathway to the long-term goal. I would quite frankly tell them, you know, assuming there's, you know, that GPA is not such a huge issue, to maybe just target three or four of these programs in round one, go all in on the sort of the reach and the top schools, and, you know, obviously they can come back in round two if they're not successful. But, you know, they've got a long list of target schools right now, which is great, because they've got plenty of time before they need to apply. But narrow that list down, focus on the higher end of the list, and then if for some reason the schools don't bite, they've got round two. They're not going to be overrepresented in the pool.
Yeah, agree. And I think, yeah, for me, the thing that sticks out the most is just the career plan. Like I love the long-term plan of, you know, they have this, there's this family business, it's in pharma. And so my view is like, what's the easiest way for them to pivot and get, you know, on that path and as a military candidate? And I will say, you know, a leadership development program at a major pharma feels like it could be a nice choice, maybe easier than jumping into investment banking. But whatever it is, they just need to pick something. And I was also, I made a note to myself that I was kind of curious. They had these different roles in the military. They point out they've had three roles. And I just wondered, do any of the three roles touch anything that could be related? So for example, they had very operational type roles that would lend themselves to working as a consultant, or, you know, maybe even in a pharma leadership program or something. So I just was curious if there's anything in the past experience that could be mapped, or maybe they've been doing something quantitative in the military, although I think that's less likely. But you never know, right? So I wanted them to flesh that out. And yeah, the GPA is a little bit low for the places like Stanford, et cetera, but the GRE, as you say, is really high. So, they should be okay on that front. But yeah, just the goals, and they have time to sort of figure this out, as you point out. And I like your strategy with round one versus round two.
Yeah. Again, I think this is a very strong profile overall. I'm just being nitpicky on the GPA, because what is the weakest part of their overall profile? It's probably going to be the GPA, as well as slightly lack of focus on that short-term goal.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree. So I want to thank them for sharing their profile and for their service as well. So hopefully they have some time here to get their ducks in a row and figure out their round one strategy and just get off to the races with it. So let's move on though, Alex, and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. Our second candidate this week comes from a DecisionWire entry. I noticed you picked two DecisionWire entries this week. We are in that kind of time of year where people are, you know, more and more sort of debating where to attend now that they're getting results. So this person, they indicate that they only applied to Arizona State, so WP Carey Business School, and also to USC Marshall in Southern California. And they got into both programs. And they got, it looks like, a total free ride at Arizona State, and then some scholarship dollars. I forgot to do the math. They, for some reason, put this in, not in dollars, but in, I guess it's in Indian currency. Yeah, so I don't actually know. I need to do a conversion. But anyway, they have less money from Marshall. They're going to be starting school in the fall. Their GMAT score was a 695, which is a pretty good score on that newer version of the GMAT exam. This candidate is from India, and they indicate that they've been in a family business for 13 years, and that they're looking to pivot to like an operations role. You had some back and forth with them. I think Elliot on our team did as well, but they say that they want to work in operations in a corporate, preferably around Arizona or California, and they really don't specify one or the other. I know Elliot tried to tease that out from them, but they said that their two concerns are, you know, will doing an MBA from WP Carey affect their growth in the long term as compared to USC Marshall, for example, when it comes to promotions or better opportunities, or, you know, will doing it from Carey be totally fine and be, you know, make it easy for them to pivot into the role they want? So what do you make of this, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, that is a really interesting question. So let's sort of break it down. Marshall is in a higher tier.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two tiers above Carey. So, you know, and they have a free ride at Carey. So that sort of compensates that difference to some degree. But this is the question. In the long run, will Marshall provide them more access to opportunity, etc. It's going to have a stronger alumni network as a consequence of being in a higher tier, and that can matter in the longer run, and depending on where they want to be in the longer run, whether they're returning back to India or planning to want to stay in sort of Arizona or California, that would factor too. I would say yes, going to Arizona Carey, it's possible that you can do very well and work really hard. And if you're really talented, and, you know, we don't have much to say about that, but obviously that really high GMAT score suggests that they're reasonably smart anyway. But if you're really talented and do really well, then the Arizona Carey MBA can carry you forward and help you get great opportunities, I think, right? But I think that will be easier with the Marshall MBA. That's kind of my point. Yes, it's possible that the Carey MBA will carry you forward throughout your career and allow you to sort of maximize your opportunity. But it will be easier through the Marshall MBA. That's just sort of how it works when you go to a higher profile program with a stronger alumni base, and, you know, stronger faculty support, et cetera. So there's no right or wrong. It's not, back to my term earlier, a binary. It's definitely going to happen or not going to happen. It sort of depends on the quality of the profile, your willingness to sort of do the graft and the hard work, and then the support from either of these programs can certainly enable lots of great opportunity. But I'd have to say Marshall will just provide more support in that endeavor, because it's a high profile program. So then the question comes, is it worth the differential in the scholarship?
And I've just done some digging on that, actually. So it looks to me, if I understand this person right, what they actually indicate is that they have a $100,000 scholarship at USC Marshall versus a free ride at Cary. So now, granted, it's going to cost more than $100,000 to go to Marshall. So they'd have to take out some loans or whatever. But it's a pretty big scholarship. And I think, as you rightly point out, there's a couple-tier jump here between these two schools. And so I would also argue that, given that, you know, neither of these schools are HBS or something, so there's an increased kind of regionality to the network and focus. And I think it'd be really important for this person to think carefully about, you know, do they want to be in Arizona? Because that's, you know, Arizona State is going to have the biggest footprint there. Or would they prefer to be in the LA area, in which case USC Marshall's a pretty golden, you know, name in that market, right? So I just think they need to obviously think that through. And but the money, at first I thought, oh, they don't have much at all from Marshall. Well, they have actually a pretty decent sized scholarship. So yeah, I mean, I think you said it well. I mean, the long-term impact of that network is not negligible. And I think it is, you know, Marshall's got a leg up in several ways. So.
And the other way to look at it is, if you can make Marshall happen, I do think it's worthwhile. If you can't make Marshall happen, then yes, you can do very good things coming out of Arizona Cary. So go off to Arizona and make the most of it. You're just going to have to work a little bit harder with a slightly weaker network and support structure through the rest of your career, right? That's just the way the world works.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to congratulate this person on getting pretty generous offers from both of these schools. Not an easy choice. I understand why they're debating it, especially, you know, they're coming out of India. So the money is probably pretty important when you just look at the parity between the two countries in terms of earning power, et cetera. So, yeah. So in any event, good luck to them. Let's move on, though, and talk about Wiretap's candidate number 3. So our third candidate this week, again, comes from a DecisionWire entry, and this person indicates they applied to Berkeley and Northwestern Kellogg, and they're starting school in the fall. They gave us some stats, not much, so they had a 327 on the GRE, and they do tell us that they want to either get into consulting or technology after business school. And they mentioned Bain, BCG, McKinsey, and then Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, Microsoft. So all the usual suspects are gathered here. They can't decide between these two schools. And it sounds like there's no money involved in this instance, or they certainly didn't specify any. So let's assume that, you know, they're paying full fare for either of these programs. So what do you make of this? I know both you and Elliot on our team weighed in with some questions, but they haven't answered yet. So we kind of have to operate a little blind here. We don't know exactly what this person's thinking, but all we know is they have these offers at, you know, Kellogg and Haas, and they want to work in either consulting or tech.
Yeah, I mean, if we looked at the data on sort of ApplyWire and DecisionWire, I'd think the overlap with schools applying, Haas and Kellogg are probably a couple of schools that if you apply to one, you're going to apply to the other. I know Ross and Fuqua fall into that category too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So especially looking at consulting and tech, these two programs are very sort of, you know, often cited for those potential career paths. So it doesn't surprise me. It also doesn't surprise me that it's not an easy decision. So let's talk about the tiers to start with. Yes, Kellogg, we would argue, is in the tier above Haas. But this is quite close. So Kellogg is part of the M7. So it's in that tier, I would suggest, with Booth and Columbia and Sloan. Booth, Columbia, Sloan and Kellogg, right? There's four of them in that tier, Wharton just slightly above, and then Harvard and Stanford. That's the way I see the top tier programs. Just after that tier of four, you've got Haas and Yale and Tuck. So they're very close in terms of, Haas is in that tier just behind the tier that Kellogg's in, etc. I just think, frankly, if they know that they want to be in Northern California post MBA, that builds the case for Haas. But if they want more geographic flexibility and, you know, a slightly larger program, more flexibility on resources and focus, then it swings back to Kellogg.
Yeah.
So if it's parity in scholarship offers, yeah, I think if they want a little bit more freedom, and Kellogg can get you to the West Coast, right? So if they want to keep their geographic options open, I'd suggest Kellogg.
Yeah, I'll give you some quick numbers here just because I think it's instructive. So when you look at Haas, you know, about 25% of the class went into consulting. This is the most recently graduated class. And 24% went into tech. So, you know, about a quarter of the, you know, in each of those, right?
That's half the class.
Right. And then when we look at Kellogg, we see a slightly different thing. We see 35% heading into consulting and 20% into technology. So a little more than half the class going into those two fields. But, you know, and with an edge to consulting, obviously, for Kellogg, and a slight edge to tech for Berkeley. When we look at the regional placement, though, 78% of Haas grads land on the West Coast. And, you know, with Kellogg, it's much more spread around. So they, you know, place 36% in the Midwest, 27% on the West Coast, and 21% on the East Coast. So a little bit more scattered across the U.S. And we talk about that a lot with Kellogg. They're very adept at placing people kind of everywhere. So it comes down to, like you're saying, if this person knows they want to be in California, you know, Haas is probably a great option. And I do really agree with you that there does seem to be this, you know, that tier that Haas is in is increasingly, with Yale and Tuck, it's quite close to the tier that, you know, holds the Columbias and Kellogg's and Booths and stuff. So it's not like there's a dramatic difference. But I think there is a pretty big difference. Like, if they know they want to do consulting and aren't necessarily convinced they want to land in California, I think Kellogg has a distinct edge here. But if they're like, oh, I want to work in tech in the Bay Area, then, you know, you can't really go wrong with Haas. So,
I think Kellogg keeps their options open a little bit more broadly.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. So in any event, you know, best of luck to this person. Obviously, it'd be great if they knew what they wanted and it could express that if they knew they wanted consulting or tech and knew their geography. So I would advise them to think through that carefully, go to welcome events if they can. And obviously, congratulations on such great offers from two of the top, you know, top 10 MBA programs.
And I think the point is, in this case, if they choose Haas or if they choose Kellogg, it's going to be a great choice.
Yeah.
This is not an easy, it's not black and white. It's like they've got to go to Kellogg they've got to go to Haas.
And
they can make a very strong argument for each of these programs.
Yeah. And if they go to Haas, they should make sure they live in a courtyard with some other Haas grads, apparently, according to our earlier Real Humans post that we talked about. So in any event, yeah, congrats to that person. Thanks for sharing the profile. And Alex, thanks to you, as always, for picking these out. These are exciting times. I think the next few weeks are going to be a lot of fun as we get more and more news from candidates. And yeah, just round two was really off to the races with their decisions. So I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, very good. Best of luck, everyone. Stay safe. Take care.